I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. We are quite depleted in numbers because so many of us are traveling, and more will be traveling next week. And for several weeks, quite a good number of people is going to be away from this church. Do pray for them that wherever they may be able to glorify God's name. And those of us who travel, wherever we may be, let us always remember that we are to bear a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this morning the topic is citizen of heaven or citizen of the world. Now, certain kinds of passports are held in high regard at the immigration at the airport. So at the checkpoint, they are given no trouble at all. They clear the immigration very, very quickly and pretty easily. Now, the reason is that the passport holders come from countries that are very respectable. They are citizens of those respectable countries. That's why they are given that kind of treatment. But there are some passports that are not that respectable, and they are not given high regard by the immigration officers. And the holders of passport sometimes are given a hard time at the immigration. I think some of us must have seen this happening at the airport. Now, the reason is that they come from countries that are not held in high regard internationally. And immigration officers are very wary that these people might want to come into Australia to become illegal migrants in this country. Now, whatever passport you may be holding, whether your passport is a passport from a good country or respectable country, or passport that is from a country that is not respectable, as far as God is concerned, there are only two kinds of citizenship: the citizenship of the world or the citizenship of heaven. Now, if you are a citizen of the world, now let's say that there is a imaginary heavenly immigration checkpoint. The passport that you hold because you are a citizen of the world is practically worthless. It is not going to enable you to get into heaven. You'll be shut out of heaven because you are a citizen of the world. Only citizens of heaven are able to gain entry into heaven. Now, in this passage that we've just read earlier on, Paul was talking about citizenship, and we have talked about this a couple of times already in the last few messages. Paul says in verse 20, "For our conversation," which means our citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the word conversation means citizenship. Now, here he talks about heavenly citizenship, but this morning, before we talk about heavenly citizenship, I'd like to talk about citizens of the world. Now, who are citizens of the world? Now, in regards to the church in the city of Philippi, to whom Paul wrote this letter, citizens of the world are those people who do not identify themselves with Paul and his fellow laborers, Timothy, Silas, and Dr. Luke. Yes, they are not followers, or they were not followers of Paul and company, and therefore they were actually not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were citizens of the world. But who are citizens of the world today? Now, they were and are people whose God is their belly. All right, if you look at the verse that we read earlier on, and that is verse 19. All right, if you look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, now you will see that these people are people whose God is their belly. Verse 19. Now, let me read this for you. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. So their God is their belly. Now, the belly here does not necessarily refer to the stomach. Yes, the belly here refers to appetite. Their God is their appetite. They live to satisfy their lust, even the lust of the flesh. They live to satisfy their lust for eating, for drinking, for sex, for physical pleasure, and to satisfy their desire to have high social and economic standings. Now, this is the God the people in the world would worship, citizens of the world would worship. Now, I dare say that this is also the God that many Australians here worship. So you try to share the gospel with them, they have absolutely no interest in the gospel, totally indifferent to it. And it seems that it is very cultural here that people at the end of the day's work will go to the pub and have a drink. Or if not every day, or at least at the end of the week after 5 days of work, they will go to the pub and they will have a drink there. Now, these are aliens to the kingdom of God. Now, I ask you, particularly, I want to address this to young people. Do you worship the belly god? Yes. In ancient times, those people worshipped the belly god. God, the belly was their god. Do you worship the belly god? Now, here's a test. Now, if there is a spiritual activity, let's say a fellowship meeting, or a fellowship outing, or a camp, or even a worship service, yes, and then there is a great game final in town, or there is a big show that comes here, doesn't come here all the time, but there's a big show in town, and there's a very good opportunity for you to go and to see the show just at the time when the activities, the spiritual activities are conducted. Now, which would you give priority to? The big show, the entertainment, or would you give priority to the spiritual activity? Now, this is a very, very good test. Yes, your priority will surely indicate which God you are worshipping, whether the belly God or the God of the one true living God, the God of the universe. Now, next, who are the citizens of the world? They are those who glory in the shame. Now, you look at verse 19 again. Yes, these are people whose glory is the shame. Look at verse 19. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in the shame? Who mind earthly things? They are people who are grossly perverted in their moral judgments. In other words, what they ought to be ashamed of, they are not. They are unashamedly glorifying those things which they ought to be ashamed of. And they say, oh, what we have is liberty, and that is what we want. Yes, we are having liberty. Now, today what happens is because they think that they want to have liberty, and they think that they should have liberty, and they think that they have liberty, then today we could have a bride who is already 6 or 7 months pregnant. Yes, bride, 6 or 7 months pregnant, and she's walking down the aisle to take the oath of marriage. Yes, and she's proud of that. The groom is also proud of what has happened. My dear friends, these people are really glorying in the shame. They are people of the world, citizens of the world. And then today, what do we have? We've known it already. Yes, it's people, gays are shamelessly participating in this annual event, the Mardi Gras, and then we have men parading themselves at the Mardi Gras, parading themselves scantily as women. And then women shamelessly telling the world that they are lesbians. And all done in the name of what? All done in the name of liberty. They say, as a human being, I have the right to choose my sexual orientation. And the latest shameless glorying, which went global, was shown by this woman who took part in the Miss Universe contest. Did you read of that one? Yes, she took part in the Miss Universe contest that took place in Atlanta. She was Miss Myanmar, and she participated in this Miss Universe contest, and she very, very proudly declared to the world that she's a lesbian. And she was participating in that contest on the platform of the LGBT movement. So she said, in other words, what she is saying is, I'm proudly lesbian. Yes, I have the right to choose my sexual orientation. And she's proud of that. My dear friends, let me ask you, do you find the Mardi Gras parade something that is entertaining or something that is nauseating? What's your answer, my dear friends? My dear friends, we should find this event, this exhibition, something very, very nauseating. Because homosexual exhibitions are very, very abominable to the Lord. Now, if such people are unrepentant, I'm talking about people who participate in those parades and those people who are very, very much with them, my dear friends, if they are unrepentant, one day God is going to give them over to a reprobate mind. Yeah, we know this in the book of Romans chapter 1. God is going to give them over to a reprobate mind, in which state they will not be able to repent, even if they choose to want to repent. In other words, they are citizens of the world, and even if they want to become citizens of heaven, they will not be able to do so. Incapable of doing so, because God had given them over to a reprobate mind. So they will remain citizens of the world, and the end result for them is destruction. And when the word of God talks about destruction here, it is referring to destruction or everlasting death in the lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Now, not long ago, there was this big controversy in Australia, and this controversy resurfaced some quite recently. Now, this controversy involved a child whose naked picture, she was only 6 years old, and her picture was taken and then placed on the cover page of an art magazine. Now, there were two camps who looked at this picture. One camp said, "This is a piece of art, very good." Now, the other camp said, "This is nothing but pornography, child pornography." Now, let me ask you this question. Now, which camp do you belong to? Yes, I dare say that people who think that picture is a piece of art are people who are citizens of the world. They are shameless, and they do not, these people are shameless, and they do not care to teach their children what shame is, because they themselves do not know what shame is. And of course, God has given this child a very beautiful body, but that does not mean that body must be put on public display on the cover of an art magazine. Now, I suspect that such parents of this child, were envious, or rather, covetous more than anything else. Yes, they were hoping to get a monetary gains out of this display of this picture of the child on that cover page of the magazine. And then when the child was interviewed, she said that she was proud. She was proud to show herself in that manner. And so you see, as of a young age, she has already been taught to glorify in her shame. Yes, totally shameless, taught as of a young age. Now, if you are really a citizen of heaven, my dear friends, we must see the picture for what it is. It is nothing but child pornography. Now, I listen to what this man says, and I do not know whether he was a believer or not, but this is what he said. He said, "What? Not pornography? Would you not be very concerned in the train or in a bus when you see a man holding a handphone and on the screen page is the picture of this naked 6-year-old girl? Would you not be very concerned?" Now, if you are a believer, you see that, you are not concerned, I don't know what kind of a citizen you are. Yes, hard to say that you are a citizen of heaven. And then there was this terrible woman, one public figure of a woman, I do not know her name. Yes, she was one in favor of such displays in the name of art. And she was totally incensed and was totally opposed to people who opposed this picture being displayed on the cover page of the art magazine. She was so enraged in the name of what? Of course, in the name of liberty. She said, "I don't want my liberty to be taken away by some narrow-minded lawmakers." She was totally numbed to shame, my dear friends. Her moral judgment was totally corrupted, totally perverted. She definitely is a citizen of the world and not a citizen of heaven. Friends, let us understand that it is not liberty that citizens of the world are enjoying. They think they are, but that is not liberty. The truth is they are living in sin, and they are so conditioned living in sin that they love to sin, and they feel that they are having liberty when they sin. And living in darkness, they don't feel that they are living in darkness at all, because they are so used to living in darkness. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, let me give you a very simple example of getting used to living in darkness. Let's say you wanted to eat, and you wanted to eat in this particular restaurant, and the restaurant is dimly lit, and then you just step out from the noonday sun, and you walk into the restaurant. All of a sudden, you feel very blinded because you came from light into darkness, and you couldn't see for quite a while. And then you sat down at the table. Then after a while, it amazes you that you are able even to read the letters on the menu. You are able to see. Why? Because you have gotten used to the darkness. My dear friends, people who have gotten used to the darkness of sin, yes, will continue to enjoy sinning. They don't feel that it's darkness at all. But friends, it is darkness. But when people are saved, when they become citizens of heaven, they will see shame for what it is. Shame to them is really shame. They will be very, very ashamed of what they used to do in time past. The things that they glory in, they feel so ashamed of them. In time past, for example, they could have tattoos of naked women on their arm, and they felt very, very good about it. They felt very macho to have that kind of tattoos there. But once they are saved, once they are translated from being citizens of the world into being citizens of heaven, they feel so very ashamed of these tattoos. And their desire is to have the tattoos removed, even if the tattoos, after being removed, will leave some ugly scars behind. They will do it. Why? Because now they have become citizens of heaven. They know what shame is. They no longer want to glory in shame. Now, next, who are citizens of the world? Now, citizens of the world are people who mind earthly things. Look at verse 19 again. Whose end is destruction? Talking about citizens of the world. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? Something that we have talked about already. And whose glory is in their shame? Something we have talked about already. Who mind earthly things? Yes, they mind earthly things. Now, it is, of course, important for us to mind earthly things. We are in this world, we can't help it, but to mind earthly things, such as earning a living, working hard at your workplace, or working hard at your schoolwork. Yes, these are necessary things that we must do to provide for the family. These are necessary things that we must do. Yes, we need to do them, and we need to do them well, because we are supposed to be bearing a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we do not want to be seen as slothful. We do not want to be seen as unprofitable people to the employer. So we work hard for the glory of the Lord. But what is wrong and with minding earthly things is to mind them to the extent that we lose sight of the real priority in life. And what's the real priority? The real priority must be this: to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yes, we should be people who are setting our affections on things above rather than things on this earth, and should not be laboring for things of this world and then neglect doing things that are right, losing sight of the real priority in life. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says this in John chapter 6, verse 27. He says this: labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for the meat which perishes. Now, meat, of course, here means food, but it can mean any earthly thing. Labor not for the earthly things or the worldly things that perish, but labor for things that last for eternity, that come for eternity. There was this wealthy man who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he told a little funny story about his sister. Both of them were then children at that time. One day, they were poor at that time, And then one day he had to go to the town to do something, and then he told his sister to look after the cattle for him. And the deal was this: he said, "Sister, I let you have this coin. All right, you hold this coin in your hand until I come back." Now, of course, it was a big deal in those days to be holding a coin, because to hold money for children was something that was very, very rare. So the sister very gladly agreed to the deal. So he went to town, and then later on he came back. And of course, the sister had no choice but to release the coin, because that was the deal. And the rich man laughed as he told the story. But in a more serious note, he said, "Isn't this what we are doing? We labor hard to obtain earthly goods. We hold them, but one day we have to release them from our hands." Yes, that's true. If we are citizens of heaven, let us not mind earthly things, but mind heavenly things. Let us realize that all earthly things, no matter how precious they may be, no matter how good they may be, one day we have to release them from our hands. And that's the truth, friends. Naked we came into this world, for sure naked we are going to leave this world. Then, who are the citizens of the world? Now, basically, they are enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. All right, verse 18 now. "For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction." Now, Christ came and died for sinful men on the cross of Calvary. As of the day we became citizens of heaven, we were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's understand this truth. As of the day we became citizens of heaven, we were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We were crucified to the world, and the world was crucified to us. And today, in fact, the world must be crucified to us, and we to the world. But the citizens of the world do not regard the world as being crucified to them. We believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are to regard ourselves to be dead to the world, and the world to be dead to us, but not citizens of the world. To them, the world is very, very much a part of their life. Yes, in fact, their life. Yes, they are very much attached to it. They are friends of the world. And no, they do not want to be dead to the world. And they are directly opposed to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Word of God says that they are enemies of the cross. Yes, and in the Word of God, in the book of James 4:4, the writer of the book of James says that friendship of the world is enmity with God. And those who are friends of the world are enemies of God. So if you are citizens of the world, you are enemies of God. So who are we, friends? Citizens of the world or citizens of heaven? I trust, my dear friends, that today we can identify ourselves as being citizens of heaven rather than citizens of the world. But if you see yourself as citizens of the world, my dear friends, you are in serious trouble, because you are heading for eternal destruction. Now, then, who are the citizens of heaven? Who are they? They are people whose names are written in the book of life. If you turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, you have a description of such people, all right, citizens of heaven. They are people whose names are written in the book of life. Philippians 4, 3. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Let me read this for you. Philippians 4, 3. Paul says, "And I entreat thee also, through Yokefella," he was writing to the church in the city of Philippi, and then there was one person whom he was talking to. The name is not mentioned here, but Paul says, I entreat thee also, through Yokefella, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." So citizens of heaven are people whose names are written in the book of life. And in the gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, rejoice. He was telling them, don't rejoice so much you are able to perform miracles, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, in these days of tight security, to get into an office building that contains valuable information or valuable property, you must be able to identify yourself to the central control system so that you'll be able to gain admission into the building. And now you would be able to gain into that building if there is a record of your identity in the record system of the central control system. And then, of course, when you come to the building, you must be able to identify yourself, either by a thumbprint or by a sliding of a card or by a palm print or by your iris. Yes, the system will be able to recognize the color and the structure of your iris, and then the system will be able to identify you, and then you will be able to get into the building. But my point is this: your identity and your name must be in the record system of the central control of that building. Now, there is no problem, of course, for the Lord to identify us as people whose names are written in the book of life. No problem at all. Why no problem? No problem because His name is written on our forehead. Did you realize that? If you turn to the book of Revelation, you see this wonderful truth. All right? Revelation 22, verse 4. Revelation 22 and verse 4. 22 and verse 4, let me read this for you. All right. Revelation 22 and verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. All right. Their name shall be in their foreheads. Now, we have been purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has sent His Holy Spirit to indwell us, and His Holy Spirit has sealed our salvation. Our name has been written in the book of life. In other words, my dear friends, we are now citizens of heaven. Yes, God has written, or the Lord has written His name on our forehead, and we are easily identifiable by Him. Now, my question to all of us here this morning is this: is your name written in the book of life? Is it or is it not? My dear friends, it is not written in the book of life if you are unrepentant from your sins. You still choose to continue to live as a citizen of the world. It is not in the book of life if you have not experienced the cleansing flow of the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. Then who are citizens of heaven? Citizens of heaven are those who speak heaven's language, those who mind heavenly things, and so they speak heaven's language. Those who mind earthly things, people of the world, what do they talk about? Of course they talk about earthly things. What comes out of their mouth reveals what is in their heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, our Lord and Savior says this of these people who are citizens of the world. He was at that time addressing the Pharisees of his day. The Lord says this to them: O generation of vipers, snakes, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Yes, the unsaved person, a citizen of the world, does not understand spiritual things. He doesn't understand. Spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. He's not born again, so he cannot understand spiritual things. And therefore, what does he speak? He does not speak the language of heaven. He doesn't, because he doesn't talk about heavenly things. No, not at all. If he talks, they are just words. They are just something very academic, but nothing meant sincerely or spiritually. A citizen of heaven will talk about heavenly things. Do we talk about heavenly things? Yes, we do. Not that a citizen of heaven will go around quoting scripture all the time. You know, he doesn't do that all the time, but he will talk about things of the world also. He will talk about sports. He will talk about cars. He will talk about houses. He will talk about property. He will talk about business. He will talk about studies and so forth. These are the things that he will talk about. But underlying all these things that he talks about, there is always one focus. And that is, when he talks about them, he has got eternity's values of such things in mind. He talks about them, but he thinks of heaven also. Yes, he doesn't forget them. And then he knows that such things, yes, these earthly things, no matter how precious they are, these things of this earth, no matter how precious they are, he knows that one day he will have to release all these things from his hands, just as that little girl had to release the coin from her hand. He realizes that, he knows that. So when he talks about all those things, he will remember this. Yes, I have all these things, true today, but one day I have to release them. I cannot carry these things along with me. So when he talks about earthly things, his focus will always be on the eternal value of those things that he talks about. Then he's very conscious of this also. Yes, being a citizen of the world, a citizen of heaven. He says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. He remembers this and he thinks about this truth all the time. Then citizens of heaven are people who obey heaven's laws. They are very conscious of God's laws. And their desire is to obey his laws. Their focus will not be so much, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Of course, these are the Ten Commandments. But his focus will be not so much on the negative side of the law, but his focus will be this. How can I love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, and my neighbor as myself? That will be his desire. How can he do all those things to please the one true living God? Then his prayer would be this, as a citizen of heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He knows that in heaven, all the angels would be living in absolute obedience to the one true living God. And just as the angels in heaven would obey the one true living God, he would also want to obey the one true living God the way the angels do. And then they understand this truth, and they are very, very convicted by this truth. And that is, at the end of the day, what that really matters is doing the will of the Heavenly Father. Yes, he will be very conscious of what the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 7, 21. I read that verse for you. You don't have to refer to it. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Something that he's very, very conscious of. And every day that is his desire. His desire is, of course, not to break God's laws. His desire is to obey God's laws and to love God's laws. His desire is to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Yes, he not only does not want to do things that are wrong, but he will want to do things that are right. Yes, that is a true citizen of heaven. Then they are also loyal to heaven's cause. Citizens of heaven are loyal to heaven's cause. The main part of which is, of course, Christ coming to this earth to die for sinful men, to save sinful men. Now, they understand that the cross is the central theme of the Word of God. And they understand that the cross proves that God loves sinners. And they also understand that the cross proves that God hates sin. He hates sin to the extent that in order to save men, he had to send his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for the sins of sinful men, so that he can justly forgive men of their sins. And then they recognize clearly that the cross is the way of salvation. I'm talking about citizens of heaven. They recognize that the cross is the way of salvation. And they are very, very thankful that they have now become citizens of heaven. And that they are citizens of heaven, not by any other way, but by the cross. And so they love the cross, and they are loyal to the cause of heaven, while citizens of this world are not, of course, loyal to the cause of heaven. In fact, they are opposed to the cause of heaven. They are enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they reject the salvation that is offered by the one true living God through the cross. Now, it amazes me how loyal some how loyal some migrants here still are to the country that they came from. They are already citizens of Australia. Yet, you see, when there is a big game played between Australia and the country that they came from, which country do they side? Which country do they cheer for? Australia or the side from the country they came from? Very often, they side the side that came from the country that they came from. Yes? So it really amazes me. And I sometimes have to ask this very theoretical question. If there's a war between Australia and the country that they were citizens of formerly, which side would they be fighting on? The side of Australia or the side of the country that they came from? My dear friends, if there are true Aussies, true citizens here, then of course the right thing for them is to be fight like citizens of Australia. Friends, we are citizens of heaven. Let us always be sure to be faithful, loyal to the cause of heaven. Let us be sure that we are standing on the side of righteousness. On issues such as gay rights, human rights, abortion, euthanasia, stem cell research, my dear friends, let us be sure that we are standing on the side of righteousness, standing on the side of holiness. Then on issues such as dressing, such as lifestyle, such as sense of values, let us, my dear friends, not be on the side of the world. Let us be true to the cause of the gospel. Let us be loyal to the cause of heaven. Let us stand on the side of righteousness and holiness. Yes, and let us not be traitors to the cause of heaven. Then who are citizens of heaven? They are people who look for heaven's Lord. Heaven's Lord. Look at verses 20 and 21. 20 and 21. For our citizenship, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Yes, they look for the Savior. They look for heaven's Lord. Yes, they have this hope of seeing him face to face, and they know that one day when they see him face to face, they will be transformed, and then they will be like the Lord Jesus Christ when they see him as he is. And this blessed hope gives them the motivation to live as true citizens of heaven while they are on this earth. Yes, and this is the hope, because they have this hope, when they speak heaven's language. And because they have this hope, yes, they obey heaven's laws and they are loyal to heaven's cause. And when they travel along this road to heaven, yes, even though the road could be long and the road could be very dreary, my dear friends, they would be very, very encouraged. It is easy for us to be discouraged as we travel along this long road, filled with trials and tribulations many a time, to be discouraged and then to drop out of the journey. But friends, those who are citizens of heaven, when they travel along this road with the hope that they have of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, have their burden lightened by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they have the journey brightened by him. A small boy was traveling in a train between two cities and on the west coast of America some years ago. The day was hot, it was very dusty, and the journey was, of course, not comfortable because it was a very bumpy ride. And then the scene outside of the window was very dull and boring. And then one lady asked this little boy, said, "Little boy, are you not tired of this journey? It's so dusty and it's so hot." And this little boy said, "Yes, a little, but, yes, but at the end of this journey, I'm going to see my father." Yes, and the thought that he was going to see his father really brightened his journey. And so he said, "Just a little, yes, but I'm all right. I feel quite comfortable because at the end of the journey, I'm going to see my father." My question, my dear friends, to all of us is, do you have this blessed hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face someday? Now, if you have, then the journey that you are taking on this road to heaven, although it is long, it could be filled with trials and tribulations, will be very much lightened and brightened by this hope that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what citizenship do you have? Citizenship of heaven or citizenship of the world? Citizens of the world are people whose God is their belly. And their lives are governed by what? Governed by lust. Their interest is to just satisfy the lust of the flesh. And they are people who will glory in their shame. Now, of course, we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ would not glory in a shameful behavior. But friends, the trouble with us is that we can get into a stage where we might condone such behavior. Or if we don't condone such behavior, we might be so used to it that we don't actually quite mind this behavior. Isn't that true with us? My dear friends, our Christianity cannot be that soft. We are citizens of heaven. Therefore, live like citizens of heaven. Let us never accept this kind of sinful behavior that we see around us, exhibited by citizens of the world. They must be unacceptable to us, because such behaviors are unacceptable to the one true living God. Yes, they must be nauseating to us. Then citizens of the world are people who mind earthly things. They have their priority wrong. They have absolutely no thought of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And they are enemies of the cross. They are opposed to the cause of heaven, and they reject the forgiveness of sin offered through the cross by the one true living God. And what's the end result? The end result, as given in the Word of God, is destruction. And when we talk about destruction, or the Word of God talks about destruction, it is not annihilation. It's not a case of the person becoming nothing. No! Destruction here means eternal damnation in hell, in the lake of fire, where the soul and body will experience eternal torment for all eternity, of course. Now, citizens of heaven are different. Citizens of heaven are people whose names are written in the book of life. Yes, and they have their names of the Lord written on their head, forehead. And so they are easily recognizable, identifiable by the Lord of heaven. And they speak heaven's language. Their focus will be on spiritual things and things that count for eternity. Of course, they will talk about earthly things, but every time they talk about earthly things, they remember that they have to look at these earthly things that they talk about from heaven's standpoint. And they are people who obey God's laws. Yes, they love heaven's cause. And then they are looking for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have this hope in them that one day they will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and be like him. So the question for all of us is, are we looking for him? My dear friends, we can only be looking for him with hope if we are truly citizens of heaven. And you can become a citizen of heaven. Yes, because Jesus came and died for us on the cross of Calvary for that very purpose, to make us citizens of heaven. So why don't you come, my dear friends, if you haven't done so, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and be translated from being citizens of the world to citizens of heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies, kindness, goodness. We pray, O Lord God, that your people may indeed love you. We thank you that you have given us this privilege to become citizens of heaven. We thank you that there was a day in our life when you called us and we, by your grace, responded and came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then there could be those who are still citizens of the world, and they are enjoying the sins of the world so much, enslaved to the sins of the world, and are living in darkness, and are not realizing that they are living in darkness because they are so used to it. We pray, O Lord, that you will be very gracious to them. May you save them in accordance with your mercies. And for all of us, O Lord God, we pray that we who are believers may shine for you and be showing forth that we indeed have this hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and be the true citizens that you of heaven that you want us to be. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.